Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Interesting. They won 2 out of 3 over the weekend without Christian. He comes back yesterday. They won all three. He comes back yesterday. They lose a doubleheader. I'm not saying it could be coincidence.
Listen,
the possibility is coincidence.
Because it was 2 out of 3, not sweep.
Okay, yeah. I'm willing to, you know, take a, you know,
sit it out?
Step aside.
If go ahead.
You guys would like to run this on your own,
sure.
I believe it. I got to
be honest with you.
It's up to I still haven't done my taxes yet.
It's up to the manager.
I actually think that we should bring Dale and Keith back. They seem like good openers. You know, they get the ball rolling nicely. For you guys. You know?
Alex Score being brought to you by Arbella Insurance, Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. All right, let's start. It was a nice weekend. You took 3, you come back home. This is a team that you're probably a little bit better than. And suddenly we're seeing another part of your game that's reared its ugly head. And that is suddenly a pretty good pitching staff for Detroit, but your bats are silent. Once you figure out one thing, starting pitching, something else seems to crop up. What's going on?
I think yesterday, the second game, we just didn't get that big hit. You know, there was traffic all over the place. I think we had first and second in the first 2 innings. If you look back at the game, you know, like, I don't know how many base runs we have, and you know, we hit into fielder choices and double plays, and we have bases loaded with Xander, and he hits a line drive that is foul, and I do feel like offensively, if you start looking at the at-bats are getting better, you start in Tampa, we start walking, and that's a good sign. You know, when you're controlling the strike zone, good things are going to happen. Yesterday, the second game, although we didn't score too many runs, it seems like the line was moving. Now it's just a matter of getting that big hit and have that big game. You know, we haven't had that game the whole season that we scored 10 and we can breathe a little bit and relax and just relax for one day. It seems like every game where we win in is a close one, and the other ones we're scuffling to keep the lead or try to get the lead.
Yeah, that second guy is effectively wild, I think is what we usually call that guy. That's not a comfortable at bat. He was all over the place.
And he was throwing 95 cutters out of nowhere. It's like you look at him in the video, and everything was sinkers. He's only thrown 4 changeups before yesterday starts during the season, and all of a sudden he throws 3 changes to Mitch, and that's who we are. You know, people are going to make adjustments. You know, they know that we have a good offense, and they're going to probably pitch us differently than other guys. But stuff-wise, if you look at it, it was pretty nasty. You know, he threw a backdoor cutter to Jackie in the first at-bat. It was 95, and backdoor it. So, I mean, that's what we see now. He's full effort, all effort guys. You know, spinning the ball and cutting the ball, pitching upstairs. You know, no excuse. We got to hit them.
So you guys sweep Tampa over the weekend, and in those 3 games, you Workman, Brazier, Barnes all go. In each and every game, you pull out that, right? Use your 3 guys that have been throwing the ball real well. Doubleheader yesterday. Did you want to stay away from them? Because it felt like in that 8th inning after Thornburg, tie game, game 1, I figured you'd bring a big dog in here, one of those 3, because you had 9-1-2 coming up in the 8th.
Yeah, my plan was to – no, it was 5, 6, 7. We brought Brewer there in that situation.
For them.
One. Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about for you guys up next in. Put up a 0 top.
Yeah. But, I mean, the pocket that we had, we felt like Brewer could do the job. You know, he pitched well on Sunday, spinning the ball with a cutter. So all of a sudden, he leaves a cutter up to Rodriguez, and he hits it out of the ballpark. And one thing I learned a while ago, you know, from Tito, you do not chase wins because Danny's going to catch with you later on. And it was like, if we had the lead, Barnes was going to come in, you know, and we shut it down. But at that point, it's not only we're begging for a win, but we're not 100% sure where we at, you know, as far as the bullpen because of the usage. So it was going to be Barnes with the lead. We felt good about Brewer where we were, and it didn't work out.
How hard is that for you now? We can talk about chasing wins. You know, you're sitting there. The record isn't what it was last year. It's easy not to chase wins when you come out of the gate. This year, you know, you used all 3 in Tampa, kind of going for the wins there.
Yeah, I mean, but knowing that Monday was going to be a wash, you know, we had a pretty good idea of the weather channel, you know, we had a pretty good idea, and it just, that's the nature, that's the way I manage, you know, and honestly, we felt that yesterday that was a good pocket for Brewer. It didn't work out. In the second game, we pushed Lakins. You know, we're down by one. We could have gone to work, but, you know, we gotta be smart.
You had Barnes up one point, right?
At one point, yeah, at one point. But, you know, we played now, what, 18 in a row or 19 in a row without the Monday game. So you got to be smart, man. And if you push it too hard, then, you know, you're going to be chasing your tail the whole week, and it's going to be tough. So, you know, it just didn't work out.
You know, everybody loves Sale. Everybody loves the way he just, you know, takes accountability for his performance, good or bad. But I guess it's got to be getting to the point of frustration isn't the right word. Like, what's worse than frustrated? Because it seems like he's just nibbling. And even yesterday's performance, it seems like, you know, with all those balls that were fouled off, without that, he could have had that sixth or seventh inning game. And then you could say, okay, there's that point and there's that game that you were looking for from him, yet it still escapes him.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you look at the game, we got the strikeouts, but at the same time, you know, it was a grind for him. And this is a team, they did it last year to him too in Detroit right after the All-Star break. I remember Candelario, the third baseman, it was like 22 pitches in two at-bats. And is it game planning? Maybe. If it's something that they see the ball better against Chris than other teams, maybe. But, you know, it was a struggle because, you know, he had good stuff. Fastball wasn't 97, 98, but it was good enough. The slider was good. The changeup was okay, and he wasn't able to put him away right away. You know, it was a lot of foul balls. You know, keep grinding, 8, 9 pitches at bat, and all of a sudden we only win 5 innings.
I got to believe with what you're dealing with the bullpen that you want to get 5 innings out of Velasquez. You got 3 good ones, and then the 4th inning, it just kind of unraveled. Don't you need to get 5 right now out of him?
I think his next one, he'll be there. Yesterday, he made a pitch with Miguel. He threw a fastball in, and he fouled it off, and then we threw a split in the inside part of the play. He got to it, and then he lost a slider to the lefty. And at that point, you know, we have Walden, who's been getting a lot of ground balls, and the stuff obviously was better at that point. We hung a slider, and then they scored 3. But I feel like Hector is getting there. He made, what, 53, 54 pitches? Yeah. So for the next start, most likely Monday, he'll be able to just go 5, you know, just like a regular start.
So you guys bring up Darwinson Hernandez, 26, man. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a spring training game. You brought him up for a reason because you think you can get guys out at this level. What were your impressions of him, and how close is he to being here, impact?
No, he still got a few things to develop. If you watch the game, there was a lot of misfiring, you know, and that's – his stuff is that good that in the strike zone he can get people out. You mm-hmm. saw it. He fastballs up and away. He threw down and in. The breaking ball was supposed to be back door. He threw it back.
And he's still getting guys out.
He's still getting – so there's a process, and he still needs to get better holding runners, sequencing, all that. But I do believe, and like I said, in spring training, he's gonna help us out. He's gonna help us out. It's just a matter of, you know, fine tune a few things and get it to that point that, you know, you can run him out there in any role, you know, as a starter, as a reliever, and you can actually don't have to worry about the other stuff. Just only execute pitches.
Is Craig Kimbrell an option at all out there as far as being part of your team? You know, with you know, adding a guy like that, I know there would be some issues luxury tax wise. But, you know, when Glenn talks about the bullpen and guys being tired, the name that keeps coming up is Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell, doesn't have a job. Great, bring him back. Has that been discussed at all, or is it off the table?
No, not that I know. And you know, that's a good question for Dave. You know, I was the GM of a team back home in Puerto Rico.
Act like you're the GM. You have the GM hat on.
I can't talk about free agents.
Isn't it amazing, though? Aren't you amazed that he's still out there?
Dallas too.
Dallas Keuchel's still out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I want to ask you about Jackie Bradley Jr. because with the move you made, you may struggle to get offense out of the catcher position, but we know why you did it, because it makes your starters more comfortable. He's batting 134, 203 on base percentage, and a 164 slugging percentage. You talked during spring about him coming up with a new batting stance, and this was going to correct it. Maybe we were going to get a more consistent Jackie Bradley Jr. Looks like the same guy. What's going on there?
No, right now, it's not working. And, you know, one thing for sure, and Lou knows, I feel like Jackie, in the second part of the season last year, he was more conscious of going the other way. You know, just hitting the ball through the shortstop, off the wall, was able to stay in fastballs that way. And then whatever they hung, you know, he hit out of the ballpark. James, Kenley Jensen, backdoor cutter, he was there on time. And right now, there's a battle right now between him being on time, catching up with fastballs, chasing pitches down in the zone. And one thing I always tell Jackie, you know, you can go to mechanics and all this stuff, you know, all this cool stuff that works for some guys. Sometimes, you know, it takes
like
time.
Like the toe tap, which you get rid of, by the way.
It takes time, but do not forget that you're a great athlete. You know, don't take that away from who you are. You know, like, you can run, you can, you know, backtrack the ball and hit it the other way. And sometimes we get caught up in mechanics and you forget the most important thing, which is see the ball, hit the ball, and then go from there. And that's something we keep reminding him. And hopefully, you know, today's the day that he hits a few balls the other way and just clicks.
Is it frustrating? Yeah. No, because there are times we've seen him, he'll go on a four-week run where he'll bat like .425 and then he'll bat .120 for the next month. You know, if you could get a consistent .250, you'd probably be happy because of the defense. And he, you know, we know what he did. He came up with some clutch hits in the postseason. But is it frustrating that you can't get anywhere close to a steady bat from him?
And we thought that we were getting, and we will get him, you know, the guy from the second
steady?
Half, the second half last year. I mean, the second half was in the roller coaster. You know, he was very consistent. We took him out of the lineup in New York. We talked about a few things. One of the things was, like, be an athlete at the batter's box. And it took him, like, 10 days, 12 days, and he figured a few things down, and he was able to stay on pitches and drive it the other way. And he was very consistent. Hard hit rate. I remember when everybody was talking about bad luck. You know, he was hitting line drives into the shift, but he wasn't hitting the ball into the shift. He was actually hitting the ball in the left center gap, and that's what we tried. We need him to get to that point.
See, Jade, that's one thing that's always amazed me with J.D. Martinez watching him. He's so technical, right? All the studies, and I'm always thinking, this guy, he studies so much, he's going to get himself in trouble. He's fine, but I do wonder about these other guys with this launch angle and the search for this perfect swing, because it looked to me like Mookie stopped thinking, and just as you said, being a good athlete and reacting. Is that an issue with some guys, maybe not named J.D. Martinez, searching to be perfect with this launch angle and finish and all these other things?
I think it's an issue around the big leagues. It's something that, if you take a look, the way teams are attacking hitters now, you know, a few years ago, everything was down in the zone. So guys start getting on plane and getting to those pitches little by little. What they do, they start going up, and you start looking at certain teams, and they've been very good at getting pitches up in the zone, getting on playing with them, getting on top of it, like back in the day, mm-hmm. You know, like get on top of the ball, hit line drives, and you know, it's that game, like they make adjustments, we make adjustments, you make an adjustment, you keep going, and at the end, whoever makes the most adjustments is going to be better.
So I asked you about Michael Chavis, because obviously he comes in, first at-bat, double, hits an absolute bomb yesterday, he's got some pop. Is this a guy that you almost have to find a spot for in your lineup, given like the energy he brings? It, I don't know if you're thinking platoon at third. When he's not at third, he's at second. Is he in there more often than not?
I mean, it is a threat, and it's a quality at bat too. And you've seen it. He did it to Alvarado. He did it yesterday. It's a guy that, although he swings hard, he doesn't, you know, so far, he's not chasing pitches down in the zone, you know. He might swing on the slide or whatever, but he's disciplined enough that he recognizes the next one, he'll take it, you know. We'll take the swings and misses, but at the same time, it's in a bat that, you know, he puts one in play and he can change the game, and so far, so good.
Is there something you need right now? Little energy lift? You get a lot of the same guys. A lot of times you get one of these guys that come up, they go on a little run, and you get a little energy lift out of it.
I think during the weekend we saw what happens when Mookie Betts gets going. And it's not fair to say that it's on you. You know, you get going, we go. But when he's running the bases, he's hitting the ball all over the place, you know, we get that jolt of energy, and hopefully he can just keep going.
All right, you ready for the Cumberland Farms question of the week? This question submitted by Andrew Brown of Malden. As a manager, what advice would you tell Alex Cora, the player? Give it up. Switch. Become a soccer player.
Do we have time?
Yeah, I'll add to that.
Yeah.
What would you tell Alex Cora, the player, if the team was not doing well? You've been there before, I'm sure, on teams where things have not gone well. Do you use some of that advice of how you felt as a player when you were on the other end?
You did that in New York, didn't you, at one point when you were playing music?
Yeah,
you aired out your own teammates?
But it wasn't music. It was actually a beat writer. They were just laughing after a game. It was a 10-game losing streak, and they're just, you know, we were in Arizona, and they were in a corner just laughing, like,
whatever. The beat writers
yeah, like that. I mean, out loud, you know. I didn't like it. I just let them know, you know. But
so what did you do?
I just let them know. I said, hey, man, come on, show a little bit of respect. It doesn't mean that you can't laugh, you cannot play music, but right after a game in a 10-game losing streak, that wasn't, like, a good spot for that. But I would tell Alex Cora, the player, if his team was struggling, just stay the course, you know. Just keep working. Keep doing the things that you're doing. I will tell Alex Cora, the hitter, don't be taking too many pitches, you know. Like, they're throwing cookies right down the middle, hit a line drive the other way.
I'll add to that because I know, be more aggressive. I know last year at the end of the season you win, you admitted that there was a point, I want to say maybe New York had won, you were maybe in Tampa where...
After we got swept out.
Yeah, it was the first moment all weekend or all year really where you're like, huh, how do you not get to that point now? And I know it's early, but at any point are you going home here and you're going, like after yesterday going, huh, what are we doing here now? Because it ain't going well right now, I'm going
to
be honest.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't a good day yesterday, but it was one day. You know, we got a chance to come here and start doing, keep doing the things offensively that we did the last few days, you know, like keep getting traffic. And we were one swing away to get going, honestly, offensively. And yesterday it didn't happen, but today it might be the day. That's the thing. And also, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you have those two kids running around in the house, you know, you put this in the back seat. And then when you get in the car, you get back, okay, here we go. This is what we need to do.
But lastly, real quick, Holt. Where are these guys? Pedroia, Valdi.
Holt, Nunez are feeling well. Nunez, actually, yeah. Nunez going to hit at 315 on the field. Brock, he swung the bat earlier. Most likely he goes on a rehab assignment during the weekend. With Dustin, you know, he ran yesterday. He hasn't hit. I think he's going to hit in the cage today. So it seems like he's trending good. You know, he's trending to where we want to be. And hopefully we get healthy sooner rather than later.
There's your Cumberland Farms question of the week. It's brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every Wednesday. I got to give it to you. You're pretty calm about all of this stuff. Let's see if you can survive the next week because Fourier is back.
I'm bringing back good vibes. You're back. Good luck. I bring back.
So what we got? What we got? We got.
You're good.
We got two against the Tigers. You got Tampa, three against
and then
the
you
Rays.
Got Oakland.
We got Oakland before the show.
Oakland.
How many?
It's Oakland.
It's Oakland.
Nobody wants to go. 7-1 the next eight. There we go.
Sure.
7-1.
Hey, lock it up.
There you go.
Lock it up.
Alex, good seeing you.
Thank you, guys.
Alex Cora, right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.